Chapter 13. The History of Wicca. Part 2. For a quick recap of what we've learned so far, we saw that Wicca means witchcraft, and it's just the same old occult practices since back at the Tower of Babel. There are many types of witchcraft and it is practiced all around the world. The only protection from witchcraft is given by God to Christians through the authority of Jesus. Wicca or witchcraft has been the same evil for thousands of years, moving from its origin in Babylon to Egypt, Greece, Rome, Asia, India, and the islands of that region, Africa, Latin America, and Europe. In the last chapter, we saw the repackaging of witchcraft by Wicca, which is the modern-day version. But it is still old-fashioned witchcraft that has, in large part, come out of European witchcraft. Margaret Murray is considered the grandmother of Wicca's witchcraft remake. She was an Egyptologist, and we know that Egypt was heavily into witchcraft. She brought that Egyptian witchcraft to Europe, beginning with her book, The Witch Cult in Western Europe. That began to revive witchcraft's popularity in the UK and eventually led to Europe's ban on witchcraft being lifted. From Murray, Wicca, witchcraft, spread through Gerald Gardner, who was considered the grandfather of Wicca. He got in contact with Murray and was influenced by her, as well as another icon of occult witchcraft, Aleister Crowley, who even secularists say is the evilest man that ever lived. Gardner wrote a book called The Book of Shadows, which today is considered one of the greatest resources for witches. It is a handbook used worldwide. Obviously, that book is packed with horribly evil practices, and it is the reason that, today, there is a branch of witchcraft called Gardnerian Wicca. As we continue to trace the history, what we will see is that Wicca witchcraft spread across the world through different fingers, or branches, like Gardnerian and Alexandrian Wicca, each putting their own spin on it. And I think that is why a lot of people get seduced into Wicca. The belief system puts the individual into the driver's seat. There is a large pot of Wicca practices from which followers can take whatever they would like and leave the rest, whether you want the version that Gardner, Alexander, or any other witch came up with. A witch can pick and choose. Now, what does that sound like? It is the same philosophy in the New Age movement that we covered in our study, New Age and the Last Days Deception. New Age allows followers to grab a bit of Hinduism and some Buddhism, along with beliefs from many other systems. And it feels so good to the flesh because every New Ager gets to play God, which is the same lie from Genesis 3:5 that the devil told Eve.
For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God.
Just like the lie that New Age offers with the idea that you can be your own God, in the Wicca belief system you get to decide between what's right and what's wrong. Likewise, Wicca split off into branches that allow witches to just pick and choose what they want. And Wicca continues to split today. Some witches keep their practice on more of an individual basis, while others meet together in covens. After Gerald Gardner's founding of Gardnerian witchcraft, the next person in line to pick up and run with his branch of Wicca was Doreen Valiente. This lady began to make witchcraft sound poetically witchy with a Shakespearean feel. That made it more palatable for the public, and some historians even say, if it were not for her work, Wicca may never have gotten off the ground. We are going to take a look at that, but before we do, let's see if we can find another passage in the Bible that tells us not to get involved in witchcraft. Of course, we can because there are a huge number of them. Another of those is Isaiah 47, which is God's judgment on Babylon. This passage shows God's harsh words for Babylon and tells us why he judged those people. We already know how they were steeped in witchcraft because they were the beginning of those evil occult practices. History shows us it eventually spread across the planet and all that agrees with the biblical account. Now, let's take a look at what Babylon was involved in with their witchcraft practices all over that society. You don't have to find an ancient Bible version that has some sort of secret Southern Hebrew to find out why God judged Babylon. He makes it very plain in Isaiah 47:8-14, where he calls people one and creatures, which is a pretty obvious sign that they are in trouble with God.
Now then, listen, you wanton creatures, lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am, and there is none besides me.
God tells us these people, who were deeply involved in the occult and witchcraft, are claiming they are also gods. Excuse me? There is only one God. In fact, many times, God tells us, I am God. Besides me there is no other. He says that repeatedly in the Bible. So, these people have the audacity to equate themselves with him. God goes on.
Now then, listen, you wanton creature lounging in your security and saying to yourself, I am, and there is none besides me. I will never be a widow or suffer loss of children. Both of these will overtake you in a moment, on a single day, loss of children and widowhood. They will come upon you in full measure, in spite of your many sorceries and all your potent spells. They are involved in witchcraft and the occult. You have trusted in your wickedness and have said, "No one sees me," as if God is blind. Your wisdom and knowledge, i.e., witchcraft and the occult, misled you when you say to yourself, "I am, and there is none besides me." Disaster will come upon you, and you will not know how to conjure it away. They can't just make it go away by witchcraft and sorcery. A calamity will fall upon you that you cannot ward off with a ransom, a catastrophe you cannot foresee will suddenly come upon you.
God is saying there is no amulet for them to use. Do you see what God is doing there? He's playing on their own words and letting them know that none of their sorcery, witchcraft, or other occult practices are going to stop God's judgment from coming. And God says they will get a catastrophe they could not foresee with their evil divination. They claim it tells them the future, but God is saying they are not going to see this coming. It will suddenly be upon them.
Keep on, then, with your magic spells and with your many sorceries, which you have labored at since childhood. Perhaps you will succeed, perhaps you will cause terror. All the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, those stargazers who make predictions month by month, let them save you from what is coming upon you.
On social media these days, it's crazy that even so-called Christians are asking for people's horoscopes and giving theirs. Supposed Christians are quoting horoscopes, but, as we saw in our New Age study, that is not something you want to mess with because it is another part of the occult. Notice how God talks about those astrologers making predictions month by month. It is just what the occult does with their calendars to this day, as we will get into that a bit later. God goes on about these occult people.
Surely they are like stubble, the fire will burn them up. They cannot even save themselves from the power of the flame. These are not coals for warmth, this is not a fire to sit by.
Can I translate that for you? You are in big trouble with God. You have gotten involved with witchcraft to the point where you think it has given you security with some sort of so-called godlike powers. And you had the audacity to say that you are God. But God is letting you know that false feeling of grandeur has put you against the one true God. God alone is God, He alone is all-powerful, and only He can provide true safety and security. God warned about occult practices long ago, but people still went ahead and persisted in their witchcraft. God is patient but only up to a point. And what happened in this biblical case at the Tower of Babel? Bang! The hammer came down and he took Babylon out. Now, here's my point, from this Old Testament passage on through the New Testament, do you think God changed his mind about how he feels about the occult and its witchcraft? Absolutely not. If God had strong words for Babylon back then, what do you think he has got for people who get involved in this evil today? It is the same today and it's on a nationwide level. Every nation that goes down this route long enough, is going to have God taking them out. Folks, that is a clear warning we need to heed. With that understanding, let's take a look at why our own nation is being infiltrated with the occult, specifically, with witchcraft. Believe it or not, that started with Doreen Valiente. Earlier we had the grandmother and grandfather of Wicca. Now we see the woman considered the mother of Wicca. That is Valiente, who met Gardner in 1952 and, under his direction, revised his Book of Shadows with its spells, rituals and calendars. She did so to make it more appealing for popular consumption. That is something often needed, and I think it can be especially so with us men. You know us guys, we are maybe not the most artistic, including myself. There are many who clean up what I write. As they heard that, I am sure those involved in the process just laughed, heartily. But that is okay, I swallowed my pride long ago. Gardner had pieced together and whipped out his Book of Shadows, so, Valiente came along to clean it up, making something more poetic and, using their word, witchy sounding. What that accomplished was to make the book much more palatable and it went on to be a huge influence. Here is Doreen's story from a secular article and keep in mind that a mystical experience, even one that gives you goosebumps, does not mean it came from God, which is what we hear in the charismatic community all of the time.
Doreen Valiente, the mother of modern witchcraft, was 9 years old when she had what she called an indescribably mystical experience and saw the veil of reality tremble. On a balmy summer evening in the 1920s, she crept into her South London garden at twilight and was consumed by the feeling that her surroundings were fabricated to hide something else, something very potent. Her parents were probably right to wonder whether she was interested in the occult when she began running around her neighborhood on the household broomstick, so they packed her off to a convent school.
That is like jumping from one fire into the next. Roman Catholicism is not going to fix you. We dealt with that in our large study, Roman Catholicism and the Coming World Religion. Catholicism is a false, pseudo-Christian, and works-based gospel. Being put into a convent was not going to help her. Instead, it normally makes the spiritual life worse, and in this case it apparently did. She ran away and, frankly, I would have too. The sad aspect of her story is the thought of what might have happened if she had been plugged into a healthy evangelical church that preached the Bible. Maybe her life would have been different. Unfortunately, a lot of people were led astray by her material because they chucked her into Catholicism and that did not work. Even back then, this is what young Doreen was able to come across in the area that she lived in.
Aged 15, she left the school and refused to go back. Inspired by the books she found in her local library, she became fascinated by witchcraft.
Good thing we don't have to deal with our kids finding that kind of material today, right? Wrong. Libraries are taking out and banning good Christian classics while allowing the occult to infiltrate on a massive scale. And don't think that doesn't have an effect on kids. Of course, that's just the local library, which people don't use as much anymore because they now have the internet, which is everywhere. And on that worldwide library, conservative biblical Christian ideas are being called hate speech and blocked, as users can access anything they like about witchcraft and the rest of the occult. That new pervasive library in our pockets is promoting the occult on a massive scale. No longer is it just small influences like Baliente's old low-tech local library that had a major influence on her, resulting in her becoming fascinated with witchcraft.
Decades later, Valiente was one of the most important figures in Wicca. Believed to be the first fully formed new religion to appear in England and spread across the world, by writing down much of its liturgy, and helping to lift a ban on witchcraft, which had been in place for over two centuries.
Two big promoters of witchcraft happened around the same time. Valiente cleaned up Gardner's material to make it widely palatable and, at around the same time in 1951, the ban on witchcraft in England, that was over 200 years old, was lifted. From that point it began to spread on a massive scale, demonstrating that the reverse of the ban was a huge mistake. Here is some about an exhibition of Baliente's witchcraft.
A new exhibition at Preston Manor, in her hometown of Brighton, exploring her role in Wicca, is particularly timely for contextualizing now ubiquitous symbols and witchy fashions. The exhibit also showcases her extensive collection of Wiccan and occult artifacts that is believed to be the most important of its kind in the world, which included tarot cards, a witch's ceremonial knife called an athom, and two glass curse bottles.
That house is a sort of tribute to the wonderful role she played in the development of modern-day England. There are also items included from Gerald Gardner. Who would have thought people would celebrate witchcraft with a museum? Well, it's not just there that it's been done. A bit later, we will get to how they're doing the same thing here in the United States. So, Baliente had an experience that was not from God. She got information on witchcraft from her local library, and then eventually connected with Gardner. But how did that last one happen? It was through the media of her day, a magazine. Media was an early promoter of witchcraft, greatly facilitating its rapid spread. In the 1950s, after England's ban on witchcraft was lifted, Baliente read a magazine about Gardner and contacted him. Apparently, their relationship went well because Gardner made her the high priestess of his coven. Eventually, she broke off from him, but before that he encouraged her to help with the rituals and ceremonies. Pretty soon he was promoting her as the face of Wicca, which is why she was given the opportunity to revamp his Book of Shadows. Maybe Gardner was concerned that his pointy beard and hair would frighten folks away, while Baliente looked more the part of an aesthetically appealing witch, kind of like our long-running 1960s sitcom, Bewitched. With all due respect to our ladies, for that show, those Bewitched producers didn't pick some ugly, stooped over, and pimply old spinster-looking lead actress. They choose an attractive woman to help popularize the show, and in so doing, increase the appreciation for witchcraft. Here is what a founding trustee and curator of the Baliente exhibition said.
She gave the modern craft a robust religious litany and a logical framework. It was this that allowed it to be more easily passed on through initiation and is probably the reason it spread so firmly and rapidly and continues to expand across the world today.
That is how influential Valiente was. One university lecturer on religion says this about her cleaning up Gardner's work to make it more witchy and poetically palatable for people to get sucked into.
Had Valiente not been Gardner's high priestess, Wicca would almost certainly be very different and may even not have survived into today's world.
Unfortunately, she played a huge role in the spread of witchcraft. She was a pivotal figure. Valiente wrote a bunch of books. Here are three of them, including An ABC of Witchcraft, The Rebirth of Witchcraft and Witchcraft for Tomorrow. The Charge of the Goddess was one of her most important books. The keyword there is goddess because she focused on and encouraged the worship of the female goddess, deity, which almost all Wiccans still do to this day. Eventually, we will get into the female goddess and their male horn god. The female goddess began to usurp the male god, as far as being the prominent deity. And it was because Wiccans came to emphasize the goddess as the womb, from which all things supposedly come. About the same time those beliefs started launching, guess what else came along to promote this stuff with the Wiccans? It was feminism. Later, we'll have an entire chapter demonstrating how feminism comes out of witchcraft and is all about promoting witchcraft. As a supposed way to show women what they can do better than men, the ladies are being sucked into so-called women's rights and women's power that is just witchcraft with a goddess worship mentality that is embedded in the practices of Wicca.
Certainly, Dorian was a strong supporter of women's rights and wrote about feminism in her witchcraft books as well as speaking up for feminist issues throughout her life. Such attitudes, therefore, attract young women, in particular, to the religion of Wicca.
And why is that? It is because female Wiccans are told that a witch is the ultimate image of feminine power and that they should not let a man tell them what to do. It is the same message that feminism is running on, and that parallel is not by chance. For both philosophies, that idea is just a step to get women seduced to come their way and then indoctrinate them into witchcraft and goddess worship. Here is more about Valiente, and remember that their philosophy is, come one, come all, so they accept everyone.
Her final public speech was in November 1997. Here she urged the Wiccan community to accept homosexuals. Valiente's health was deteriorating as she was diagnosed first with diabetes and then terminal pancreatic cancer.
Valiente died in 1991, and her legacy is that she really helped spread Wicca, witchcraft, in the United Kingdom after revamping it. But how did those practices come to America? That was through Raymond Buckland. Buckland had also contacted Gardner and was also influenced by Margaret Murray. He brought Wicca over to the U.S. by founding what was considered the first Wiccan coven here. In fact, we have already seen the grandmother, grandfather, and mother of Wicca. By their own terms, Buckland is considered the father of modern American Wicca. This was written before he died.
Raymond Ray Buckland is a prolific author, and witch who was responsible for bringing Gardnerry and witchcraft to the United States in 1964. Ray has been a leading spokesman for Wicca in the United States for more than five decades. An Englishman by birth, Buckland was born in London on August 31, 1934. Ray's father was of Romanian, Gypsy heritage, which is probably where he got some of his witchcraft practices. It was in London that he would meet his first wife and magical working partner, Rosemary. At some point, Ray had a more than passing interest in the occult, reading with great interest many books, amongst which were two that would transform his participation in the occult. In the late 1950s, Ray read Margaret Murray's The Witch Cult in Western Europe and Gerald Gardner's Witchcraft Today.
So, the grandmother and grandfather of Wicca influenced him. In fact, he began to communicate with Gardner and kept that up even after moving to Long Island, New York. Gardner set Buckland up to establish a branch of Wicca in the U.S. So, it started spreading like a franchise. Buckland and his wife expanded their Wiccan coven on Long Island. It grew at a steady pace, and Buckland began to develop an Americanized form of Wicca. Just as Valiente made it more poetically palatable and witchy sounding, Buckland made the version for us a bit more independent so Americans could do it their way. It was the democratic approach. He came up with what he called Saxwica, which is Wicca for the American mindset. Here is a video transcript about that.
Title: Types of Witches, Traditions and Paths. At first glance, it may seem that a witch is a witch. But the further you go into learning about the craft, the more you realize there are lots of different types of witches. And since Wicca is an ever-changing religion that adapts to the practitioner, it is ever-evolving to meld with the needs of its adherents. With so many possibilities, how do you know which type of practice is best for you? Even if you have already chosen your path, it is always a good idea to learn about other possibilities. And if you have not chosen a type of practice, here is a great list of possibilities to begin thinking about which one is right for you. Saxwica Witch. Raymond Buckland moved to New York from Britain and brought with him a version of Gardnerian witchcraft. His practice adapts Gardnerian practice for an American culture. Within the practice of Saxwica, there is an emphasis on herbs and divination. This tradition does not include oaths of secrecy, rigid hierarchical structures, or a book of shadows. There are no degrees, so, a democratic approach to coven leadership is established. Self-dedication and open-mindedness abound within this practice.
Again, Buckland allowed Americans to do it their own way with his Americanized Wicca he called Saxwica. He also wrote a very popular book about it called The Tree. The Tree became the guide to Saxwica and was originally published in 1974 and republished in 2005 under the title The Complete Book of Saxon Witchcraft. If you want a crone translation on that title, just call it Buckland's Book of American Witchcraft. After years of Buckland telling people they did not need to follow the rigid dogma of Gardner's Book of Shadows, Buckland basically wrote his own book of witchcraft dogma that he called the Complete Book of Witchcraft. In the witch community, they call that the Big Blue Book, and in the witchcraft world it is looked upon as essential. But again, witches get to pick and choose whatever they want, and that is what sucks people in with the same sort of relativistic mindset as the New Age movement. Followers of either philosophy, witchcraft, or New Age get to be their own god, deciding what is true or not true. If a witch wants to use the Book of Shadows, that's great. However, if they would rather follow the Big Blue Book, or maybe use both, that's fine too, because each individual gets to pick and choose their own truth, regardless of what the real God says. That is never going to work out for anyone.
Buckland's Complete Book of Witchcraft has influenced and guided countless students, coven initiates, and solitaries around the world. One of modern Wicca's most recommended books, this comprehensive text features a step-by-step course in witchcraft, with photographs and illustrations, rituals, beliefs, history, and lore, as well as instruction in spell work, divination, herbalism, healing, channeling, communicating with demons, dream work, shabbats, esbets, covens, and solitary practice.
So, again, Buckland said American witches did not need to follow the doctrine of the Book of Shadows, and then he wrote a book of doctrine to tell witches exactly how to do everything. Here is more about his book.
The workbook format includes exam questions at the end of each lesson, so you can build a permanent record of your spiritual and magical training. This complete self-study course in modern Wicca is a treasured classic, an essential and trusted guide that belongs in every witch's library. Never in the history of the craft has a single book educated as many people.
Unfortunately, Buckland's Blue Book was a landmark work for witchcraft. He then set up a museum in 1968, which was the first museum of witchcraft and magic in the United States. And again, showing the Bible's decree that there is nothing new under the sun, Buckland's museum was only because he was talking with Gardner, who'd already started doing the same thing in the UK. Buckland's museum started in his basement as a private showing, but then began to grow until it got media attention, including a documentary. All that press makes things more popular, so more and more people have wanted to go see the place. And it's just crazy how many people are drawn to see the tools of those dark, evil occult practices, including ritual knives, as if that's something cool. It is just gross. And unfortunately, we are going to see more of the truth that those knives are to not only be used to kill animals, sometimes they are used to kill people. This is sick stuff. Here is a bit about Buckland's museum from a guy who talks and walks with a camera while visiting it.
Well, my friends, welcome to the Buckland Museum of Witchcraft and Magic. This is pretty cool. Basically, the basis of this museum was that there was a man named Raymond Buckland, who was kind of looking for some sort of spirituality. He found out about witchcraft, the Wiccan, and got with the man who named Wiccan, Gardner. That's actually Raymond right there, Raymond and his wife. And then this is Raymond Buckland's ceremonial robe. Now, in this case, you can see that is a wine jug that they used for ceremonies. And then here is a silver cuff bracelet. There is his wand, Buckland's ritual wand used in the Long Island Coven in the 19th century. He made that ceremonial helmet, the high priest's ceremonial horned helmet made in 1970s. And then here's some more of the US initiation knives, over here. Now in this case, it says, in the 1970s, a ceremonial magician friend of Buckland's said that he was having his life ruined by a demon in his apartment in Manhattan. And so, he said somehow this demon was released. You can see there is a box in there and it says, he asked for Raymond Buckland's help to capture this demon. And it says it took him 3 days to trap the demon in the box through incantations. It says that he found a grimoire, magic book, that helped Buckland trap the demon. And it says the box has not been opened since. There you can see an Ouija board. And then, in this case, they have all kinds of tarot cards and zodiac things. These are I Ching coins that belong to Aleister Crowley. Wow. That's what those coins are right there. Huh.
Once again, who do we see again that even comes into the history of American witchcraft? It's Aleister Crowley, who is a common thread we will also see throughout our future study of Satanism. But that whole idea of the Buckland Museum is disgusting. And that guy's tour of it goes on and on if you want to find it online. Here in Las Vegas, we might go explore and celebrate some history at the Atomic Museum, or you and I might want to visit our nation's capital to see museums about founders like Abraham Lincoln. But even in America, people are actually going to see the history of witchcraft like it's something cool. And that is not the only witchcraft museum in the US. It tells us that attitudes are turning, and that tide is moving in a negative direction. Buckland published many other books, including A Pocket Guide to the Supernatural, Witchcraft Ancient and Modern, and Practical Candle Burning Rituals. It is one thing to write a bunch of books, but it turned out that people were buying them big time.
By 1973, he was earning enough money with his books that he could take over the running of his museum full time. Until 2010, he published a book almost every year since. His health began failing in 2015, as he suffered first from pneumonia and then a heart attack. After recovering, he experienced more heart and lung problems in late September 2017, which resulted in his death on September 27.
So, Buckland popularized Wicca in the United States, and this is the lady that also helped. Sybil Leek wrote a book that really catapulted her into celebrity witch status. As we will see shortly, that was in a twofold sense. She was considered a celebrity and she shared her craft with celebrities, which is something her family had already been doing over in England. Leek started out in the UK and eventually came to the United States, setting up shop in Los Angeles. So, Buckland was on Long Island to build out the East Coast and Leek landed in LA, which meant the US was then dealing with coast-to-coast witches, as well as the influence of both the male and female kind. Those factors helped it spread on a massive scale. Part of that was because Leek also wrote many, many books on all aspects of witchcraft and even had a regular column in the Ladies' Home Journal magazine. It makes you wonder how many ladies got indoctrinated into witchcraft from these sorts of women's magazines. They actually allowed a witch as a regular columnist that used the opportunity to promote that stuff. I'm sure that doesn't continue today, right? Wrong. Women's magazines can be a prime way to draw our ladies away from Christianity and into occult practices. And I am sure there are plenty of guys' magazines that do so too. By 1969, Sybil Leek was the world's most famous witch and part of it was the book The Diary of a Witch. That really catapulted her into celebrity status. She was born in the UK in 1923. When the witch ban was lifted in the late 1950s, she came out to confess what she had been doing as a witch. But she didn't want to freak people out, so she called herself a white witch or a good witch. But that was just more of the deceptive color words for witches that makes no difference because it is all the same evil occult witchcraft. From her confession, people were kind of intrigued by a person who would actually admit it right off the bat after the ban was lifted. And by saying she was a good witch, Leek had associated herself with that good witch, Glinda, and the Wizard of Oz. Maybe partially from the popularity of that book, 1900, and movie, 1939, people began to flock to Sybil Leek. A massive number of tourists visited the UK village she lived in. In fact, her landlord refused to renew her lease, so she decided to pack her bags and head to America to promote her books. That's how she ended up in LA where, locally, it's all about Hollywood and the media. They and others picked up her story and promoted her. The media helped to influence society by promoting Leek's witchcraft and they still champion witchcraft today, again, showing the Bible is right when it says there is nothing new under the sun. In 1964, A radio presenter named Annie England was one of the first to interview Leek and help build her celebrity status. Listen to this quote from Annie.
Everyone wanted her on their show. She rubbed shoulders with all the celebrities of her time, like Gypsy Rose Lee, a famous burlesque dancer, and Neil Diamond.
Besides Hollywood, the music industry also got involved to promote Leek. This is from a Secular article.
But the best legacy for Sybil is the fact that witchcraft is thriving in America and the UK. She was a pioneer of her time and she is an inspiration to modern-day witches.
So, she played it up for the media, and that involves something she carried on her shoulder. It is a crow she trapped. This lady actually walked around with that crow on her shoulder all the time. She named it, Mr. Hotfoot Jackson. In fact, this is the video transcript of an interview where she has that crow on her shoulder while explaining why Halloween is good for witches, and it gives us another reason why we shouldn't be messing with that occult stuff.
Narrator. Halloween, well, for most of us, that's an excuse for a party, an excuse to get dressed up and have a good time, the traditional time when spirits walk. But if you believe in witchcraft, then Halloween is one of the most important times of the year. I am in the heart of the New Forest, southern England, a forest that is absolutely steeped in witchcraft. In the forest there are covens of witches, each of them with 13 witches, and they all take Halloween very seriously, indeed. This is the room of one of them, Mrs. Sybil Leek. She is a housewife and mother, she's 41, she's an antique dealer and a self-confessed white witch. She says that she could do all the frightening things like sticking pins in effigies and bringing curses down on people's heads, but tonight, the witches and the warlocks will be meeting at such a sabbat.
What will they be doing and why? Sybil Leek. We will be taking part in just one of the four great Shabbats witches have always done for thousands of years.
We shall be doing it because Halloween is quite important to us as a religious ceremony. It is the time of the year when the power of the sun is dwindling and, of course, we don't want this to happen. And this is also the time when we ourselves will be feeling a great need to renew the energy of our occult past within ourselves to carry us through for the rest of the year.
Narrator. Are there very many witches about? Sybil Leek.
Well, I think you will be very, very surprised if you knew how many initiated witches there are in the whole world and, not only that, there's a very great following in witchcraft.
As we'll see in a minute, that big increase in witches has been greatly facilitated by Leek, her family, and other witches in the world of celebrities and political people. Now, I don't know if that crow on her shoulder was just a gimmick, but I would assume her dry cleaner was not very pleased having to clean up after it. Sybil Leek's book opened the general U.S. public to the occult, while the same promotion of witchcraft was happening through her male cohort on the opposite coast, Buckland. And the media was there at both ends of our country, especially with Leek, to encourage and promote their witchcraft, just as it does today.
Sybil left many articles and magazine columns, as well as at least 60 books on astrology, numerology, crystals, mediumship, herbalism, tarot, gypsies, predictions, dreams, and ghost tracking, a prominent subject in our media today.
Sybil traveled the world and hobnobbed with many celebrities.
She was bedridden at the time of her passing at age 65.
Leek died of cancer in 1982. As far as the celebrity issue, not only did she hobnob with celebrities like Neil Diamond and Gypsy Rose Lee, she even admitted that her mother, who was also a witch like most of the rest of her family, also hobnobbed with all kinds of famous people over in the UK. Apparently, it's nothing new to be sought out by the media and other people in power when a person gets involved in the occult. Celebrities and others of influence will come seek out occult people. Here is Leek admitting her family's practice of seducing celebrities and other important figures from around the world.
Interviewer. When we come back, I'd like Sybil to really tell us, she's a legend in her own life and she has met legendary figures. She has written a book called, My Life in Astrology. We will be back in just a few seconds. After a commercial break, the interviewer questions Leek. Sybil, I found your book, and I've read three of them. How many books have you written? Sybil Leek. 39, I've had published. I've written more, but 39 have made it. Interviewer. 39 books. It's an interesting title, My Life in Astrology. Sybil Leek. I'm purely dedicated to research in astrology. I love it. Interviewer. You're a prolific writer. Now, you are also a medium. Sybil Leek. Interviewer. I have seen film of Sybil Leek taken into a setting where there were supposedly, or many believed to be, either poltergeists or restless ghosts. How did you start in this? Was this part of your whole background?
Sybil Leek.
Well, I always accepted reincarnation as a fact, that the spirit is indestructible. I think to release these troubled spirits is part of my life.
Interviewer.
Tell me now, your mother was involved in some area of psychic phenomena, wasn't she?
Sybil Leek.
All my family. My two sons are far better mediums than I am.
Interviewer.
Who are some of the people that you saw, as a child, in England, or at your home, that came to see your mother?
Sybil Leek.
Oh, I had the most fantastic childhood because we were born in England but spent a lot of the time in the south of France. My father was a very scholarly gentleman and people like H.G. Wells would visit us.
Interviewer.
H.G. Wells?
Sybil Leek.
And Lawrence of Arabia and the Sitwells, British writers. And I really didn't know anyone when I was a child, unless they were famous.
Interviewer.
And it became a natural part of your everyday life?
Sybil Leek.
It became a part of my everyday life.
Apparently, on a regular, constant, and non-stop basis, during her whole childhood, celebrities, political figures, writers and other famous people were coming to her family of witches for who knows what. And, of course, she just continued that way of life when she got to America. But I'm sure that's not going on today, right? I'm sure we don't have celebrities involved in witchcraft. Well, folks, that does go on and you may not know this, but some people you never imagined are involved with witchcraft and no one makes a big deal about it because it's been so downplayed in our culture here in America. In fact, do you know that the wife of Tom Brady, 6-time Super Bowl champion quarterback for the New England Patriots, is a witch? You might think that is crazy, but here is Tom admitting it in this video transcript.
I've learned a lot from my wife over the years. She's so about the power of intention, you know, and believing things that are really going to happen. And she always makes a little altar for me at the game because she just wills it so much. So, she put together a little altar for me that I could bring with pictures of my kids, and I have these little special stones, healing stones and protection stones, and she has me wear a necklace and take these drops she makes and I say all these mantras. And I stopped questioning her a long time ago. I did. I just shut up and listened. And at first, I was like, this is kind of crazy. And then about 4 years ago, we were playing the Seahawks and she said, you better listen to me. This is your year, but this is all the things you're gonna have to do to win it. I did all those things and, my God, you know it worked. It was pretty good. And then in 2015, it was about early January and she said, you know how much I love you. And I said, yeah. And she said, I just want to let you know this is not gonna be your year. And of course, we lost. I said, what does 2016 look like? She said, 2016 is gonna be your year. So, it was early January this year, and I said, babe, I'm asking, do we have a chance? And she said, yeah, but you're gonna have to do a lot of work, and you're really going to have to listen to me. So, man, I listened to her. And right after the game she said, see, I did a lot of work. You do your work. I do mine. She said, you're lucky you married a witch. I am just a good witch.
Straight from his mouth he admits that she says he married a witch, a good witch. And if you could see the video, you would notice that our society no longer shrinks back from that kind of behavior. The audience he was talking to laughed all through what he said. They thought it was hilarious, which shows you just how far acceptance of witchcraft has advanced in our country. A major sports star with a lot of valuable endorsements on the line is easily able to admit that his wife is a witch, and he's involved in the rituals she recommends, helping him to win games. Of course, he's not worried because the audience just laughed their way through it. What did God say to Babylon? He let them know that, even though they may think their occult practices are keeping them safe and secure, and they may think they are so cool, destruction is going to come on them and they won't be able to predict when. Do you think God is pleased with any of those witchcraft practices? No. And it's nuts that our culture just thinks it's funny. Here is more from Tom Brady in a New York Times interview in 2015.
Brady said his family has space for multiple faiths, stating, I think we're into everything. I don't know what I believe. I think there's a belief system, I'm just not sure what it is.
Well, apparently it involves witchcraft. At least that's what your wife is pushing, and you're going along with her. Now, I want to show you something else that is disturbing. And before that, just to recap what we've seen so far, we looked at the two major influencers with American Wicca, who were a male and a female with one on the East Coast and one out West. And part of their technique was to hobnob with and influence the media, key figures in media, and those with power like celebrities and politicians. Now, on top of that, and hang with me at the beginning here because this may sound crazy, I've got a crone theory to share with you. I think we're seeing a major influx of the occult into the Democrat Party. And I want to demonstrate that to you because it goes right along with this tactic of influencing people in power as a way to eventually permeate a country with whatever movement is being pushed. The reason I want to point this out is because, like me, we all know people who are or have been a Democrat. And when you ask how they could vote for the Democrats with all the non-biblical things they stand for these days, sometimes they will justify it with something like, well, I'm just trying to hold on the best I can because they have changed a lot and especially recently. We also hear some say, it's not like it used to be back in my dad's day with Democrats like President Kennedy. So, they will admit that the party has radically changed, but they're still trying to hang on to their affiliation with it. My point is, even longtime Democrats admit their party has changed and recently changed radically. And why is that? Well, I think it's because the Democrat Party is involved in the occult. The occult has infiltrated the party, and I want to demonstrate that to you. Here is the title of a secular article about a woman that recently ran for the 2020 Democrat nomination for President of the United States.
Marianne Williamson reveals the Democrats are a cult.
But how could running for president help her realize that the Democratic Party has turned into a cult? Well, the article poses that question because, if you know anything about her, she's a New Ager who is involved in the occult. And how could someone involved in the occult be running for President of the United States? Well, the article says the answer is obvious. She's been with the Democrats for a long time because they are also involved in the occult. In fact, we know about some of that and dealt with it in our New Age study. This infiltration by the occult started with Hillary Clinton holding seances in the White House. What party is Hillary Clinton from? It's the Democratic Party. It's well documented that Hillary was overseeing those seances in the White House that involved Jean Houston, who was there to supposedly try contacting the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt. Of course, she did contact something, which might have even been posing as Roosevelt, but it was a demon. The other famous person supposedly contacted was Gandhi. So, this was going on in the White House with Hillary Clinton, who is a Democrat. Well, guess who was there at that time? Marianne Williamson participated in Hillary Clinton's White House seances. So, mention of these occult ties is nothing new in the Democrat Party, but these days the practices are coming more and more to the surface, gaining momentum in the party, and changing its makeup. Here is more from the article.
When Hillary Clinton wasn't trying to commune with Eleanor and Gandhi, she appeared to share the obsession of Marianne Williamson and John Podesta, her campaign chair.
We won't get into all the weird, wacky activities with Podesta and Hillary that came out with those WikiLeaks emails, uncovering their spirit cooking and other occult practices. The right words to describe those practices of theirs are rotten and sickeningly evil. What party is John Podesta a part of? Again, it is the Democrat Party. And this has been going on for a long time. It is not just seeping into influencing the party like the scenario with Tom Brady being coached with it by his wife. The occult is changing that party's belief system. And I think that is why people are saying the party is not like it was back in the days of Kennedy. The occult has taken over. Listen to these beliefs of the current Democrat Party and you tell me if they aren't leaning toward the occult.
Democrats were twice as likely as Republicans to think that astrology is very scientific. Liberals were more likely to believe in astrology than conservatives. Only 48.6% of Democrats were able to correctly answer that the Earth revolves around the Sun. 35% of Democrats believe they experienced the paranormal. 69% of Democrats believe in ghosts. That's why Marianne Williamson is up there on the debate stage.
Marianne fits right in because that is their party now. They have not only changed, but it's been toward an alignment with occult witchcraft beliefs. And that is why you can have a hardcore occultist actually be running for the President of the United States under the banner of the Democrat Party.
At the 2020 debates, the Democrats are letting their leftist freak flag fly. They are coming out of the closet. Why shouldn't they come out of the closet about their New Age beliefs? 70% of Republicans believe in the God of the Bible. Only 45% of Democrats do. 47% of the Democrats say that religion isn't really important in their lives. What do they believe in? Spirituality. Auras. Energy forces. Karma. Battling dark psychic forces. Being attuned to the universe.
That is an occult mindset. Here is more from the article.
After Trump's election, tens of thousands of women like Marianne Williamson swarmed the streets wearing pink hats to shriek at the sky and repel the dark psychic forces. They believe in everything: ghosts, auras, energy forces, UFOs, and even angels, but not God.
In fact, they're not just being overtaken with the occult mindsets, beliefs, people, and influences, but this is also why their party has become, and I'll use this word, godless. They stand against everything that we believe, not just as conservatives, but also as Christians. And I think it is because they've been overtaken. You may remember 2012 at the Democratic National Convention when they had taken God and Jerusalem out of their platform. Do you remember that? Why, of all things, would you take out God? And you can see the video on the internet where convention leadership tried to add God back in, but the people on the convention floor were going nuts, booing and hissing. They were angry at putting God back in the Democrat platform, along with acknowledging Israel's Jerusalem. Why would you do that? How did you get so godless? That was back in 2012, and it is still building today, not only with the occult influences and beliefs, but toward the Democrat Party becoming flat-out godless. In fact, this transcript is of a recent incident where the video shows them wearing COVID masks. Here are Democrats leading the Pledge of Allegiance in our U.S. House of Representatives, and this commentator picks up what they conveniently left out.
Commentator. Here's the Democrats leading the Pledge of Allegiance in Congress. House Clerk. The chair will lead the House in the Pledge of Allegiance. Democrat House Chairperson. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Commentator. Something was missing there. Oh, you removed God. They removed God from the Pledge of Allegiance.
Why would you do that? I mean, think about it, why would a political party specifically be so anti-God, including anything to do with Christianity and the Bible? I think it's because they've been infiltrated with the occult mindset, belief system, and frankly, people who are involved in the occult in that party. I really think that's why. Now, let me give you a couple other examples. We dealt with this next one in our study, abortion, the mass murder of children. Every one of over 20 Democrats running for president in 2020 were pro-abortion, and the bulk of them even want to murder children outside the womb after they are born alive. They say we should not give help to a live baby struggling to live. Those advocating that include Kamala Harris, who is running right now on the Democrat ticket for Vice President of the United States. How did they become a murder the children party? That is what they have become. Being a Democrat means you are pro-abortion, which is the murder of babies. How did that happen? Well, to use Sybil Leak's word, I think it is because of who they have been hobnobbing with for a long time now. It has been steadily rising to the surface. In fact, they are also bringing the killing to the other end of the spectrum, wanting to murder adults, as well. Under their socialistic universal healthcare, anyone who costs the system too much has a duty to die. And if you do not want to accommodate them, they'll just have a death panel make you die. That headline reads, Democrats have become the party of abortion and euthanasia. So, from both ends of the spectrum, they want to kill babies and adults. Is that just their alternate ideal? Well, I do not want to stretch this too far, but what's something similar that happens with witchcraft and other occult practices? People who go down that road far enough end up ritually sacrificing, murdering, children and adults. On top of all that, when we look at the Democrat Party's agenda, everything they now stand for is the complete polar opposite of the biblical and even constitutional values of our country. The leader of the Democrats right now, Joe Biden, wants to kill babies. Trump supports letting the babies live. The Democrats want riots and violence, defunding of our police and gun control. We want law and order, support for the police and gun rights. They want illegal immigration, higher taxes, and a weak military. We want legal immigration, tax breaks, and a strong military. They want overregulation while we want support for job-creating small businesses. They want to let anyone vote. We want voter ID, they want a welfare state, poverty, big government and suppression of free speech. We want a working class, prosperity, small government and free speech. They want liberalism and we want conservatives. They want communism while we want to follow the Constitution. They want socialism. We want capitalism. They want defiance. We want patriotism. Every single thing, tit for tat, it's the exact polar opposite. Do you remember when the two parties' beliefs used to blend a bit? Now, I am not giving the Republicans a free pass. This is not about picking a party that is biblically pure. I'm just saying something has radically happened to the Democrat Party. This research has opened my eyes, even more than they had been, to the realization that the occult has taken over the Democrat Party. And I'm going to give you even more proof. With this current 2020 presidential election, people are asking this question.
Why do the witches only pray against and cast curses or hexes at the conservative president and not the Democrat?
First, in the United States of America, the thought that witches would be openly out in mass, gathering together and working through the community is bizarre enough. But, on top of that, they are continually putting out demonic prayers against our conservative president. Why do they never pray against a Democrat? Why is it only the other side? I think it is because that's a practice by Democrats, who would not want to pray and hex against themselves. I want to give a video transcript about that, and it is something that is still going on today. And it didn't just happen one time against President Trump. These witches meet every month to try working their hexes and curses on him. In fact, this witch takes credit for their efforts at supposedly helping get all those fake news stories out there about Trump.
Narrator. Melissa Madeira is a self-proclaimed witch and she's been casting spells for New Yorkers for years. But since the election of President Donald Trump, she says she's been using her magic a little differently. Melissa Madeira. I am very, very pleased with the results we've been getting. Narrator. She hasn't shared how the witches cast the hex, but she believes the spells are helping to expose injustice in the Trump administration. Melissa Madeira. Every time we've done it, we've seen new information come out about whether he's been engaged in tax fraud or Russian collusion or fraud with the election and stuff like that. Every time we do it, more and more comes to the public eye.
So according to that witch, where is some of the impetus coming from for all this baloney with the constant negative media coverage that will not stop and gets crazier as time goes by? I'll say that also helps explain some of why the period leading up to and since that 2016 election, and especially this whole year leading up to this 2020 election, has been such a battle. In fact, we use this phrase, and I think it is exactly what we face with all that, it's a spiritual battle. This isn't normal politics anymore, and it's because there is something spiritual going on in the Democrat Party. I believe it's been taken over by the occult. In fact, that party is coming out with a new logo that is very interesting, though a lot of people would vehemently say it's just a coincidence. Now, I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord, but a lot of people are starting to wonder about their logo. It's a bit weird. Of all the possibilities, why choose that logo? Now, people might accuse me of making too much of this, but when we look at this whole background of what's happening with the current Democrat Party, including their behavior, what they are involved in, and their present beliefs, could the logo be a message they are sending to their supporters? I don't know, but it makes you wonder. I can't necessarily prove it, and I don't think they'll ever admit it, but, man, all that seems to support my conclusion not being far off base. In fact, here is another interesting article for those who think I'm crazy to believe that the Democrat Party has been taken over by the occult mindset. Here's the headline takeaway from this survey. The finding is that 98% of Americans who support socialism over capitalism reject the biblical worldview. That tells you it is a godless agenda being promoted by the Democrat Party. And it's not just that they are involved with and being influenced by the occult, promoting occult ideals, have a background involving the occult and occult practices, and that witches are only working with their party. On top of all that, the latest socialism agenda we are dealing with here from the Democrat Party is also a godless path. What has the Democrat Party become? Is it the party of socialism? In fact, on tape, Joe Biden said him being elected would make him the most socialist president in the history of the United States. That is why George Barna from the Cultural Research Center said this.
The 2020 election is not about personalities, parties, or even politics. It's an election to determine the dominant worldview in America.
President Trump has accused Joe Biden of being a Trojan horse for socialism. And again, the mindset of socialism is from the occult. George Barna's survey also showed this.
When you look at the Democrats, for instance, I would say they're leading the curve and moving toward the perspective that life is about me.
Now, you've heard me say this multiple times, and after this witchcraft study, we're going to get to this in massive detail in our next study on Satanism. What is the number one law of Satanism? It is, do what you will, shall be the whole of the law. Do you know where that comes from? It was from Aleister Crowley. And the Democrat Party is moving us towards a perspective that says, it's all about me, myself, and I, which is an unholy trinity and another aspect of the occult.
Barna sees the remnant of those who hold a biblical worldview as the linchpin to turning the American culture around.
In other words, if we Christians with a biblical worldview don't speak up, if we don't get engaged in our culture, then this vision for America from the Democrat Party is what will come to our entire country. And it is not just what President Trump has been warning about as far as socialism knocking at America's door. It is also an occult mindset, which means a godless mindset would take over our country. It feels like a spiritual battle because it is one. Let me give you one or two more quick examples to prove this point that everything that the Democrat Party is now promoting is coming straight out of witchcraft. Here is one that parallels the big issue going on right now with the riots. It's racial division, and guess who is promoting that? It is witchcraft. And again, I don't want you to think I'm just whipping this out of thin air as a convenient theory. This is what secular folks are saying, including a mention of wokeness, which is an often heard term these days.
Fighting racism in academia with witchcraft, self-declared witches are well known by now for their wokeness and their hexing of enemies, including Brett Kavanaugh and the Confederacy.
Of course, the latter one is talking about their attempt to erase history by pulling down statues. And witches are the ones promoting this through the Democrat Party. Even in our colleges and universities, witches are playing politics with the practices.
Witchcraft in colleges is not unknown. And now self-declared witches are invoking Satan and hexing the leader of the Young Conservatives.
Again, it's the conservatives that occultists are working against. Here is an interesting quote.
Magical thinking is a hallmark of leftist thought.
Do you get it? It's not just that the Democrat Party has gone left, or even that they've gone so far as socialism, but where is this whole attitude coming from? It is the occult. And that quote was from a self-declared witch that was at least being honest about it. So, even the witches admit that is where this is coming from, and it's now determining the direction of the Democrat Party. I want to give you one more related troubling development with the Democrat Party, and it involves their latest agenda. It is not just the racism, the statues, socialism, burning down our cities, and blah blah blah. What is the other big push happening right now? It is their Black Lives Matter movement, BLM. Guess who is running that movement? It is witches. BLM leaders practice witchcraft and summon dead spirits. One guy says he's calling on Christians right now, who have allied themselves with the Black Lives Matter movement, to rethink your decision. Now, if you think that BLM leaders contacting demons is a crazy statement to make, here they are themselves, admitting they're involved in witchcraft to summon the spirits of their dead ancestors, and that's what is supposedly driving their movement.
Narrator. Do witches run Black Lives Matter? Melina Abdullah, co-founder of BLM Los Angeles. And maybe I'm sharing too much, but we've become very intimate with the spirits that we call on regularly. Right. Like, each of them seems to have a different presence and personality. You know, I laugh a lot with Wei Kaisha, you know. And I didn't meet her in her body. Right. I met her through this work. Patrice Cullors, co-founder of BLM and trained Marxist organizer. It's a very important practice. Hashtags, for us, are way more than a hashtag. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit, so they can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. I started to feel personally connected and responsible and accountable to them, both from a deeply political place, but also from a deeply spiritual place. In my tradition, you offer things that your loved one who passed away would want, you know, whether it is like honey or tobacco, things like that. And it is so important, not just for us to be in direct relationship to our people who've passed, but also for them to know that we've remembered them. I believe so many of them work through us. Bishop Larry Gators, host and moderator of Global Spiritual Revolution Radio. Black Lives Matter is run by three witches who are lesbian witches: Alicia Garza, Patrice Cullors, and Opal Tometi. She's of Nigerian descent. All three are part of the Black Bull Secret Society.
and there are witches and warlocks in the entire spiritual dogma or doctrine of Black Lives Matter. It is from the West African religion called Oju Ifa. But over 3,000 different religions in Africa are rooted in witchcraft and divination.
And BLM has merged with the Democrat Party. So, when we take a look at all these things the Democrat Party has partnered up with, it's just a natural slide, because they've been indoctrinated into the occult. Now, knowing all that about the Democrat Party, one guy asks how we can reconcile what we just saw with what the Word of God says. As Christians, we have to evaluate everything through the Word of God. Let me translate that, and I'll just be blunt, knowing all we just looked at, and I don't care who you are, if you claim to be a Christian and you continue to vote for the Democrat Party, you're going to stand accountable to God. They have been infiltrated by the occult, so they are no longer the Democrat Party of old. And if you are putting a vote with them, you are helping the occult take over the United States of America. Do you think God is going to bless that? Did he bless Babylon when they went down that road? No. In fact, he destroyed what they were doing and scattered them. So, you might want to think twice if that is you. We still hear Christians today saying, I don't care. I'm going to vote Democrat anyway. Wow. In the next chapter we are going to look at another guy who advanced Wicca even further. His name is Alex Sanders. Sanders founded a strain of Wicca called Alexandrian Wicca and was catapulted to fame as a witch because he wrote an autobiography. Again, a book was the way to gather a following. But guess what else he did that was innovative for the time and a big breakthrough for his notoriety? He got into film. So, now witchcraft started doing movies and his was called The Legend of the Witches. He began to promote that a bit before Hollywood disconnected from their longtime Christian influence that determined who did the scripts, what movies were made, and what ratings were given to them. Do you remember when Hollywood, believe it or not, had to submit all their scripts to a religious authority? That was why shows used to have rules against people kissing for more than 4 seconds, as well as husband and wife bedroom scenes always showing two beds. Remember that? I don't know why, but Hollywood stopped that. Personally, I think it was a spiritual thing. But it added movies to the books and magazine that were already promoting witchcraft and other occult practices. And as we will see in the next chapter, that movie fame for Alex Sanders led to him being called the King of the Witches.